Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Right now, an ANC commissioner is hosting a community meeting in Georgetown. At issue is the execution of a search warrant last month at a D.C. CBD pop-up shop on 33rd Street Northwest. That high-profile raid by D.C. police is raising questions about what you can do and cannot do with marijuana products in D.C. Well, tonight we're going to talk about that. Joining me are Greg Wimsatt. He is co-owner of Mr. Nice Guy D.C. That is the shop in question in Georgetown. Also, Bianca Alexander, an expert on CBD products, that marijuana product that does not get you high. Lines are open. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Mr. Wimsatt, Ms. Alexander, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Let me first talk about this incident. This, as I said, is a high-profile incident. It was covered by several news organizations, including us. There is a video from a Ring camera from the shop that shows police going in using a handheld battering ram, breaking through the window, the front door glass, that is, and coming in. Were you there at the time that this happened?
No, we were not.
So from your understanding, what happened? And because we did have a chance to talk to our police spokesperson today at length, and I'll be sharing what they had to say. But you give me your side of the story first.
Well, they use a battering ram, I mean, which is kind of crazy with AR-15s and riot shields. I mean, which I thought kind of ridiculous, because the first time they came in the same way, they already established something that we're nonviolent people, that we don't have any dangerous weapons or anything like that. So I think that was a little excessive force. I mean, they could have just came and knocked on our door and say, hey, we have a search warrant. We'd open the door up if we were there. But, you know, it's kind of ridiculous, this whole situation. And, you know, what I feel like, you know, they're coming in for, you know, cannabis products. We're a CBD store. We have CBD flower, and there's a lot of, you know, they don't have the proper, I think it's a lack of information. I don't hold them completely. I don't know if they understand the laws yet on a depth level where, you know, CBD, you know, is from the sativa plant. It has traces of THC in it, and there's cannabinoids, and their testing kits that they're using, you know, ever since in 2018 when they passed the Farm Bill Act for CBD, a lot of the police departments, you know, their whole system kind of got jeopardized in a way as far as their system that they're using to test products and stuff like that, because they're using these kits, these little, like, you know, change color. They use them for other substances as well. It turns blue if it's this. It turns purple if it's, you know, cannabinoids. You know, they're testing for the presence of cannabinoids. So for them to, you know, come in on a search warrant and stuff like that looking for, you know, it kind of is all – it makes it all ridiculous, because there's no way for, you know, first of all, they don't have the proper testing tools to examine everything properly and to put charges on people for a market they created. And secondly, we don't either. We're not a lab. You know, we're a retail shop. We are a CBD shop. And same with Wegmans and CVS and all these other places that sell CBD products. There is no regulation on any of the flower. You know, you could have CBD flower. It comes in many forms. You know, isolates. It comes in gummies. It comes in coffee.
So let me ask you this, and I want Ms. Alexander to chime in, because there are some issues here that people may not be familiar with. And you did, you know, throw out a series of terms, CBDs, you know, CBDs, cannabinoids, CBD flower and the like. What is he talking about, Ms. Alexander?
So CBD is one of the 100, or actually over 100, you know, components of a cannabis plant. It could be in hemp as well. But from the cannabis plant, you have CBD and THC present. So if you're testing for something, for cannabinoids, you're going to receive CBD as well, because it is one. A lot of people don't understand how a lot of CBD products have, you know, could have traces of THC in them.
Which is the product in the chemical compound in marijuana that gets you high.
It's yes. Psychoactive.
Psychoactive. Yes, psychoactive element of cannabis. So, you know, when you're talking about how CBD and THC are closely connected, they're super, super close. However, yes, if you have a CBD product, it can be very, very low in THC. That is something that, you know, we are looking to the DC, I guess, market is looking to regulate. However, you know, if it's extremely low and if it's legal, I'm not as certain as
to why.
There's
no possible way to, you know, they'd have to have labs and stuff. Like, we would, a retail shop, exactly. There's no way to regulate it. We don't have a lab. I mean, the money it would cost us, they don't even have the technology right now to properly test everything. When they created this farm bill in 2018, you know what I'm saying? They didn't really foresee all these variables. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? Just like, and I mean, they're using, in our situation, they're using this, you know, marijuana, this and that, saying that as their reason or whatever to come in there. But it's like, it's kind of ridiculous and a waste of time and energy on all sides. And I'm not trying to send no negative. I'm all about positive energy and positive things. So, you know, I understand the perception of things, but I think, you know, they don't fully understand the depth of it themselves. I mean, I don't know why. Otherwise, I don't see why they'd be doing this. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So, I mean, it is an issue, but I mean, there's kind of like, you know, they legalize something, they legalize CBD, and then, you know, there's regulations that they don't have. You know what I mean? There's no way for any of these places to do that. No one has to. And, you know, we don't know. There's also, when they legalized CBD, if they want to say, oh, these levels are higher, it's on the farms. It's not on the store. It's not on the retail establishment. Like, the liability is not on us. I don't have a lab. If I order something online from a CBD distributor, we got isolates. We got all different types of legally. We got lab results and stuff. There's no way for us to know. We don't have a testing equipment. It would cost too much money for anyone. There'd be no CBD businesses out there.
So let me, I want to talk a little bit about, as I said, you know, the conversation that I had today with a spokesperson from the Metropolitan Police Department here in the District of Columbia, in addition to what is called the public incident report, because, you know, we also need to provide some of the context, because it has been, you know, well reported that some of the neighbors of the shop in Georgetown were complaining about crowds,
yeah,
people.
Yeah. Hold on, okay.
That's what they're talking about. Traffic and those kinds of things are not necessarily illegal, but depending on if you live there, if that hasn't happened before you got there, and now you're bringing a change to their community, that is what some of the things that they are concerned about. But this is what the Metropolitan Police Department says. They said on the, I believe it was the 29th, that they made what was called a undercover buy of 2.3 grams in a black resealable bag, okay? Mm-hmm. Then they had the raid on the property, and they said they seized, and I think this is important based on what you're sharing with us now, a green leafy substance. They don't say marijuana. They say green leafy substance. Mm-hmm. 2.6 pounds of a green leafy substance. The description, THC and CBD infused edible products. And they also declared or seized $1,253.50. At issue here is what you can and cannot do in the District of Columbia with marijuana-related products, marijuana period or related products. I spoke to Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton today, and this is one of the things that she shared in a rather lengthy conversation today.
We're left with this anomaly with police going around with raids, and I'm not suggesting that they don't have cause. I am suggesting that if the Congress allowed the district to regulate the sale of commercial marijuana the way that is done in 11 other states, we would not have this problem in the district. Blame it on the Congress.
But as it stands now, you cannot have 2 pounds of marijuana to sell in the district.
Well, you can't sell at all. You can't commercialize marijuana in the district. so I'm not challenging that. What I'm saying, let me say this as well. I think the police are honestly responding to complaints about crowding and the like, and they have to do that.
Two issues there. Before I spoke to you today, and you spoke about CBD flower, after speaking to the police earlier today, that's why I made the reference to 2 pounds of marijuana. Mm-hmm. They don't say marijuana on this document. You say it's CBD flower. So from your position, because there are two issues here, the impact of your store on the community, mm-hmm. but also the marijuana issue. So again, quickly speak to, do you believe that you have been inappropriately targeted, you and the business?
I know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say, because first of all, even like if you listen to the complaints, like, you know, the wrong way going down Wisconsin Avenue, like, get serious. Like, this is all, like, this is Georgetown, Wisconsin. Like, just today, our place is closed down, for instance. I live there. I had to go take a shower. I've seen 3 cars, and we're not, it's nothing to do with our business. So these things that they're saying, the neighbors are saying, like, oh, there's too much traffic or this and that, they're just using, you know, these petty, you know, they're kind of like mass excuses why, you know, we were there for less than a month. They said a troublesome clientele. What does that mean? A troublesome clientele. We haven't had one police incident at our shop. Not one police call because our customers are doing something illegal or anything like that. So I am confused what a troublesome clientele or type of people means. So, like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel I'm being targeted, and there's some powerful people that live, you know, close by. And I'm not saying everyone's guilty, because that'd be an unfair thing to say, but there's definitely some individuals there. And, you know, I can say, for instance, my landlord, he's a, you know, Israeli guy, like, you know, Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he told me himself when he moved there, they said, you know, there's rats coming down the street. You know, one of the ladies came up to him and said, they must be coming from you.
And then, so you believe that this may be a racial?
I don't think. See, that's a
because
a
your partner is,
yeah,
also
my partner,
black.
But it's not, yeah, even me or my partner. I don't think they care about me, my business, or my partner personally. And I don't take it personal from them. It's more of a, they don't want us in Georgetown. You know, I don't think they're full-blown racist, because I think there, you know, there's some, you know, like a closet racism going on from certain individuals. I mean, one of the neighbors came to my landlord, showed a picture of 3 African-Americans and said, you know, showed him a picture and said, look at this, this is the problem. And he's like, what? I just see 3 human beings. You know what I mean? So there's definitely some of that going on in the mix, but these people are, you know, they're smart. They know how to operate within society. They're not like full blown, but it's still, you know, biasness. I mean, why else, you know, they're targeting us specifically. If we were not in Georgetown, this probably would not be happening. You know what I mean? You know, it's, you know, I don't have to like something to understand it, but you know, and that's cool. If that's the situation, well, come talk to us. We're businessmen. Like, no one called to us like human beings and said, hey, this is a problem. We need you to do this or do that. You know, they're just coming in, ruining our stuff, taking our, you know, merchandise stuff. We're trying to pay our tax. We're doing things in broad daylight in Georgetown. I mean, we're not hiding anything. We're putting our money in the bank. We're trying to pay taxes. We're trying to do things the right way. And the system, the way I have it set up right now, is not, it's designed where, okay, so you're going to have other, you know, these other people out there where you're not seeing any money from. You know, someone's trying to do things the right way and pay taxes and make sure everyone benefits, including the community and the taxpayers. And then you're using that taxpayer's money to bully us. It's kind of unfair, I feel like.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about what you can and cannot do with marijuana-based products here in the District of Columbia. All of this coming on the heels of a raid on a pop-up CBD shop in Georgetown late last month. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ms. Alexander, you know, as someone who is very familiar with the business side of CBD, mm-hmm. You know, suffice it to say, everybody's getting into it, yourself included. Yeah. Why is this seeming to be so popular? What does this CBD, what's it supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. So CBD is great for overall body and mental wellness. Like I said, it's derived from, in this case, the cannabis plant, and you know, CBD has been known for a great anti-inflammatory, to be a great anti-inflammatory product. CBD has been known to be a great just pain reliever in general. It's been known to relieve things, minor things such as headaches, minor pains. CBD can be included in your daily routine without having these effects similar to like opioid products on like your liver and things of that nature. This is a natural product. This is something that is literally, we have the endocannabinoid system is in every single person, whether you have ever smoked cannabis or not. We all have an endocannabinoid system. CBD is one of the keys to open those endocannabinoid receptors.
And that means?
And that means that CBD is a key to unlock pain relief.
Okay.
CBD is a key to relieve that yeah. anxiety, that headache that you have. CBD has been known to help with arthritis, literally so many different elements or injuries that people have. It's helps for so much. It can be ingested via tinctures. It can be rubbed in balms. It could be, you know, if you would like to smoke or vaporize, those are options as well. But CBD is something that's just great for overall body wellness. That's something that I really like to push. People who are CBD users do not have to use CBD to also catch a little buzz from possible traceable amounts within the CBD. Okay, these people are mostly using this to receive the wellness that they've been looking for that doesn't have the major damaging effects from other pharmaceutical products.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we are going to go to the phones. We've got a lot of people who have thoughts about what's happening with, you know, some of these marijuana-based products. Joe calling from Bowie, Pam calling from D.C., Wellness calling from D.C. as well. We'll be talking to you. Please do not hang up. Stay on the line. And if you're having difficulty getting through, please give us a call. We're going to take your calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And certainly you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment in its entirety via podcast on WHUR.com. Click on shows and drop down to podcast to find the program you want to hear. Stay with us. We'll be back in about 15 seconds or so. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a bit.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about what you can and cannot do with marijuana-based products, specifically at CBD in the District of Columbia. My guests are Greg Wimsatt. He is the co-owner of the Mr. Nice Guy DC CBD shop. It was raided late last month. Very high-profile raid by DC police. Also, Bianca Alexander, she is an expert on CBD. That is, of course, the marijuana product that does not get you high. If you have a comment or question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have difficulty getting through, please keep trying. Let's talk to Pam. Pam calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Pam. What's on your mind?
Hi, yeah, I have a question. Just stay on the CBD shop. What would you recommend for those of us who have suffered the consequences of D.C. making marijuana legal in that my neighbor who would smoke marijuana, the smell gets into my residence, and there's nothing that I can really do because it's now legal in D.C. So that may be a part of the issue. I don't know about CBD. I don't choose to know about it, but having it impact my quality of life is not something that I really appreciate. marijuana, that is. So what recommendations do they have?
Before they answer that, I do have another question for you, Pam. Would you have the same concern if your neighbor smoked cigarettes?
If I smelled it through my walls, I would.
Okay. Either one of you.
Well, I think that just answers your question, ma'am. You know, there's certain things that are illegal, just like alcohol and stuff like that. And you have to weigh out the pros and cons of certain things, the lesser of the evils. And, you know, alcohol, for instance, I mean, we're in modern day prohibition. The difference is from now in the 30s is we have technology, we have information, we have research, and we have scientific evidence that, you know, it's everything's not in our control. Like, you know, alcohol, people get drunk, they kill people. I mean, there's alcohol if you take it. You have seizures when you stop doing it. I mean, it's caused DUIs. I mean, people are getting killed. No one to date has been killed from any CBD product or marijuana product. You know, I mean, we can't – something like that, someone's – I mean, that's like saying, what do you do if your neighbor's got a – you know, he's walking around with a gun and he's – you know, I mean, there's certain things – I mean, there's certain things that are legal. There's certain things that are not, obviously. And, I mean – you could probably ask for a little respect to say, hey, you know, I appreciate you didn't do this and you know, and take it for that route. But, I mean, there's not really any clear answer we can give you on that one.
Definitely. That's a hard one because it's not a clear answer. There's no clear line that, you know, has been drawn, you know, with your landlord or, you know, whoever owns that building. That's another thing. If there are no smoking, basically a no smoking policy, then that would draw a clear line. Yeah. But some places don't.
Yeah. When I go to the bathroom and I smell, you know, horrible feces, I don't like that either, but you know, there's nothing I can do about it. You know,
that may not be the best example, but yeah. Pam, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Joe calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, sir. I certainly appreciate the brother, Mr. Nice. This is characteristic of someone who is intelligent and on the program of appreciating the benefits of CBD and marijuana. I also have trepidation about speaking to the legal side of the question. However, my ire comes when the police are acting like Gestapo, putting people on overtime to raid a small shop with guns drawn. This is endemic of what we might see in the future if we allow this type of behavior in a city like D.C., because it would certainly be exponential throughout the Americas. So appreciate the brother. Thank you.
Appreciate you, man.
Joe, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Wellness calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was calling just to give my opinion. First off, I want to say that it is wrong for them to be running into someone's business without knowing and having absolute knowledge that this was an illegal substance. Number two, you can't sell marijuana in D.C., we all know, according to the law, but you can sell CBD. There's always going to be traces of THC in these things, and they have helped. They have helped a lot of people with a lot of depressions, a lot of PTSD. There are, like he just said, no one that has to date died from marijuana or CBD use. So all of these things, I live in D.C. I drive on the D.C. roads. I'm in Georgetown. Georgetown is packed regardless of whether you have a CBD shop there or you don't. So to have an issue with this person's business being there, it seems to me that the people around in D.C. are complaining because it's more of a ethnic type of thing that are known to use this type of medication. They're not opposed to people popping pills and drinking alcohol and driving, things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. CVS got the worst drugs of them all. They got oxycodone, synthetic heroin. They got Adderall, synthetic crystal meth, Xanax. Yes, you know what I mean? They got a synthetic version of every street drug there is, and there's 90 million Americans suffering right now because of it, and they created the heroin epidemic.
They also lobbied in order to get their business to be legal. This business has yet to have everyone come together to lobby to make it legal for everything. So it's, in this society, it's pay to play. This is the federal government. So you have to pay to play here. that's what it is in all type of situations. So unfortunately,
they could have let us know that.
Well, thank you so much for your comment, which brings me to another point. And, you know, Ms. Alexander, you were kind of nodding your head, and you may be able to speak to this. When I had a chance to speak to Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton today, she has already spoken about as soon as next week, as the markup for D.C. statehood comes up.
February 11th.
Exactly. She mentioned February 11th. This issue of regulation of marijuana products in the district, giving the district the autonomy to address that on its own is critical. And she did mention that, of course, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is in support of it because, of course, he is from Kentucky, which is a big hemp producing state. So to Wellness's point, it does appear to be coming, but you know, certainly from your perspective, do you see a change coming as it relates to federal regulation and as it impacts this issue in D.C.?
It has to. There are too many cases of success. It is successful. It is not only successful from the wellness point of view; it's successful from a financial point of view. If we want to do this, we need to put the systems in place to be able to support exactly what we say we want to do. With legalizing, I mean, well, not even just legalizing, but with the statehood and with everything that comes with that, you will receive the proper equipment, you will receive the proper systems to regulate this the way that D.C. wants to, but has not. It's as if, you know, D.C. wants to, serve these products and wants people to be educated on them. However, they want to regulate it as well, but it is not required. If it's not required to be regulated, then why is the situation? Why are we here?
This is some would argue a new frontier as it relates to the business side.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of variables.
It's a new frontier as it relates to.
If D.C. doesn't get statehood, we'll be the last place to the legal access. We're owned by the Congress. You know, funds D.C. and unfortunately, if that statehood doesn't go through, we will be the last area in America to be to have legalization because we are federally ran by Congress, and it's still a Schedule I narcotic, the marijuana, which is ridiculous, and there's no medical properties, and that's a lot goes back into the early days. It was like that's their biggest problem now. It's like there's financial interest, and there's people that are movers and shakers. There's tobacco companies, you got pharmaceutical companies, you got all these other people that are lobbying these people, and that's a lot of the variables that come into play why we're not, because it's obvious to everybody in America. We all know this. It's not a secret. It's just, you know, the people that actually run this country, unfortunately, and the money, I'm not talking about the politicians, but the people behind them. And that's where it comes into play, where all this money is being bet here or there. And then the legal system, I mean, think about how many people get abused because, you know, probable cause marijuana. You know what I'm saying? They can search your car. I mean, they use it so many which ways to, in the legal system, and that funds lawyers, it funds a lot of certain things, and it's all a big, you know, it's all tied into each other, and it's a lot more complicated.
It is complicated, and which brings me to another point.
But I can understand it, you know what I mean?
Well, this is something I wanted to ask both of you, because last summer there was the big Don't Mute DC issue as it relates to go-go music in U Street and the Shaw community, because we had newcomers here. Some would say gentrifiers who objected to the culture that was there. Is this, in Georgetown, these people have been there for a while. Is this similar to, are you the interloper in the community? Is this in any way, shape, or form? Do you see this as part of the broader Don't Mute DC issue as the city begins to change?
We'll elaborate a lot. What do you think?
Well, in other words, like I said, you know, is it the reverse? Is it the reverse? Your business is the newcomer to a culture and community that has been there for many, many, many decades. Is that is that a reverse of that same kind of thing? You know, are they objecting to a change that's coming to their community?
Of course. I mean, a lot of people get stuck in their way and they don't like change. And when they see change, I mean, and they think I'm the problem. I'm like, look, Amazon's coming here. People from, you got 50,000 jobs coming from California. These are all free spirited people. I mean, you know, it's going to get, you know what I mean? It's going to get young and hip around here. DC is going to change because, like, you got all these big corporations in California and, in, like, you know, with business and stuff like that, everybody wants to be close to the government. You know what I mean? That's why DC, Maryland, Virginia, our economy has been different than the rest of the United States. Always has been, because we have so many government jobs. We got all the government here. That's where all the money's at. That's where all the moves are being made. There's a lot of power and play going on. And, you know, that affects a lot of it too. They look at someone like me. I'm like, what are you trying to accomplish? Like, really? Are you trying to, even like, you know, they're saying marijuana, CBD. Like, what are you trying to squash these? Like, what is their really agenda? You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to stop something that's, and overall, like I said, better than these farm. You know, do you want your kids going in their parents, you know, cabinet to get, you know, oxycodone and get strung out? Like, I feel this very strongly because I'm a product of that situation. I was, you know, the kid that never, you know, I smoked weed and drank till I was, you know, 18, 19, never wanted to try drugs. I got, you know, in a situation where my hand got broken, you know what I mean? I had to go, they prescribed me oxycodone. And I'm thinking, well, my, you know, at that age, I'm naive. I'm thinking, well, you know, a doctor prescribed this to me. They got, you know, they went to school their whole lives for this, you know. They know more about me. I know nothing about the opioids and the effects they would cause, depression, you know, addiction. And I know 90 other million Americans are dealing with the same problem. So I'm very passionate about this. I'm like, look, you know, I had a pain management clinic and I'm shutting it down. I'm like, this is wrong. This is unmoral. You know what I mean? So not, I think it comes into a bigger play. We have to understand that it's not always about what's, you know, the legal. We know something right now. It's like prohibition. It's like Amsterdam. You go to Amsterdam, it's illegal. Everyone does. It's not enforced, you know, and it works there. So in DC, you know, to solve the problem, if we can't get statehood, well then just stop enforcing it. You know what I mean? Let the people be, let the people, you know, we know it's not a problem. We know it's not hurting anybody. Stop using it as a loophole to harass people and bully them.
Ms. Alexander, your thoughts about that? I mean, in the don't mute DC thing, for example, as it relates to the impact on the culture of DC, because even as this issue has the legalization of recreational use, and it has changed the culture here, whether you like it or not. When I'm driving down New York Avenue heading home, yes, I can now smell it when beforehand I couldn't. I don't like it, but like the lady who called earlier and it's getting into her house, well, my car is mobile. Eventually it goes away. Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand that. Although, to be quite honest, there were times when I was looking around to make sure there was nothing in my car because I didn't really understand where it was coming from. But, you know, it is a change that I've just had to learn to tolerate.
Yeah, and I think that's the decision that a lot of us are going to make, which you used the term earlier, which of the lesser evils do we want to choose? And I would much rather smell cannabis coming down the street. Just like you said, you learn to eventually tolerate it. I'm not sure.
As well as the PCP or some of the other.
Opposed to PCP, yeah. As opposed to these other evils. And I choose cannabis.
I mean, look what the heroin epidemic created. They got fentanyl. They got people dropping dead left and right.
Exactly.
And you know how that created? Because the doctors were giving out pills like candy. Mm-hmm. And then they... Oh, this is a problem. Well, you create that problem. You can't just take it away from everybody because that's what happened. They created that situation. All across America, you know, their doctors were giving out oxycodone left and right. And then they said, we're going to stop this problem. Let's take it all away. No, you just create a bigger problem. Now you create the heroin epidemic. You got fentanyl, you know, killing people. And you guys are coming at, you know, really making me an issue? Like, yeah. You know, I'm like low fruit for you guys. Like, come on now. So go there and take care of the real problems and stop worrying about me.
Yeah, the thing is, what we have to choose. What message are we trying to send? Do we want to, people to use this product and get better? Whether that is PTSD, whether that's anxiety, whether that's pain management, whether that's overall wellness. Do we want people to get better, or would we much rather them use these opioids, different opioids and stuff like that, where you don't have to smell it, where it can be consumed in one way. It's just in this little pill, and nobody will know. It's just kind of under the radar, and it's killing people under the radar.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Renee, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I was trying to figure out. Oh, good. I just wanted to know, I see so many CBD products on the market. How do you know what's a good product? I mean,
that's a good question.
Should you use oils? Should you use creams? I don't know what to buy.
That's definitely a good question. Research. Research is key,
just like any other product.
Just like any other product that you would get from a giant, that you would get from a Walmart, you have to do your research on that product. And I would definitely look at the reviews, see what people are saying about this product all over the country, see what people, what type of effects people are getting from this product. And another thing I will say with cannabis, at least in my experience and many other of my patients' experience, it's trial and error. So the thing is, not to say that you buy a bunch of products and then see that something doesn't work and then just say, oh, okay, well, then I'm going to go on to the next product. But understanding and learning what elements might be best for you as well is key. Terpenes as well.
Because she's talking about specific products, and I know just from what we've, seen in pop culture lately, there are gummies, and like you said, there are oils, there are lotions, and how many different kinds of products?
There's so many variations. It's endless, and it's like there's really just the same thing I'm saying. There's really no way to tell because we don't have the testing material. So it's just like with any other product. You're buying a vacuum, you're buying a computer, you know what I'm saying? You got to do your there's going to be companies that are going to take advantage of you. You don't know what you're getting. You're just like buying stuff online. You don't want to just
order
anything.
So then how do you know? Because if, unlike a computer or a vacuum cleaner, you're not necessarily talking about something that is going to impact your health.
Yeah.
And so are you suggesting that if you have a headache, that you, whether it's Excedrin or Tylenol or Advil, that you try to figure out which one of those works for your head? So would you suggest that you try to do the same thing with CBD?
I would say to do your, what she said. I said, do your research. Obviously, we're in the day of internet and information, and, there's information at our fingertips. But I mean, it's like, it's a double sword on the internet. You also gotta go on reviews and stuff like that and ask around. I mean, there's a lot of people using these products. You can walk around these days. I mean, they got them at, like I said, Wegmans, CVS, everybody has CBD products these days. And that's what our whole, the thing is about, it all depends on what you're looking for. And it's going to be a lot, like I said, it's a lot better than anything else, any pharmaceutical. It's not like Xanax or something. You're going to have a seizure if you stop taking CBD or anything like that. You're not going to have these side effects. It's a plant.
Exactly.
There's some, I also tell you, people, Ibogaine, America is not about cures. It's about maintenance. We're a business-oriented country. So if you look at someone like Ibogaine, which could save this whole heroin.
What is Ibogaine?
Ibogaine is an African root. It comes from the iboga plant. It's a psychedelic. A lot of people don't know about it. It's in Mexico, in Canada, all over the world. It's not legal in the United States, but it saved my life. I got off, I was prescribed pills, and I had a very bad habit. And, it not just cures your body, because a lot of these detoxes in America, they just get your body cured, and then your mind is losing it. That's why people are relapsed or depressed. They can't function, they can't work, and they're in a cycle of addiction over and over and over again. They can't get out of it. I mean, we're dealing with Baltimore and our all around here, It's
well,
a big
before,
problem.
Before I get off on a tangent, I want to make sure that we try to address what Renee is asking.
Renee, I wanted to ask you, you said you're in Maryland, right?
Yes.
Correct? So, do you have your medical cannabis card?
No.
Would you be interested in getting one?
Sure, I would.
Now, how is that done? Because that's because I know that that's the other thing as it relates to those who are using medical marijuana, which does have THC in it. You know, for example, how does one get a medical marijuana card?
So I can only speak from Maryland's standpoint, from the state of Maryland. However, in order to get your MMCC card, which is the Maryland Medical Cannabis Commission, in order to get that card, you would visit the MMCC.maryland.gov website. If you just want to look up Maryland Cannabis Commission, I'm sure that's going to be the first one that pops up. Once you do that, you'll apply to the Maryland Cannabis Commission. After they approve for you to receive your card and your patient ID number, then you will see a provider, which is essentially a doctor who has a physician or a nurse practitioner who has a license to provide you with something similar to, I guess, what would be equivalent to a prescription to be able to purchase medical cannabis in the state of Maryland. However, this provider is determining whether you
really need what you need.
And they'll provide you with the amount that you're able to purchase. From then on, once everything is approved, you can receive your medical cannabis card and we can start on the process of healing, truly. Mm.
Well, that's why I was really wanting to know. I thought there were, like, different grades of CBD because everybody's slapping that on all kinds of stuff. And you never know what's a weak brand or what's junk. There's a certain grade you can look for.
But you don't need a medical... But you don't need... But you don't need a medical marijuana card to purchase CBD products. That's...
What's a good product? What...
Yeah, and certainly we would not endorse products on this program. But, you know, but as, Mr. Wimsatt said, there are products in drugstores. You know, and so just like if you're going to get allergy medicine, there are products in CVS or
Wegmans,
Walgreens.
Whole Foods. They got a CBD rub from there and, you know, I use in the shower.
So, but Renee, thank you so much for your phone call. And to that point, Ms. Alexander, not everybody who applies for a medical marijuana card gets one.
Exactly. You have to be approved through the state.
As we, what is going to happen to you in this legal situation next, Mr. Wimsatt? You know, your store is still closed. What's the next thing for you?
I mean, we just have a DCRA. We have to go there to get our permit. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's I would like to have a talk with these people, I guess, to figure something out because I feel like 3 weeks from now we might be revisiting this situation. You know, things don't change. I mean, the way they're going about it. But I wouldn't be surprised, and I'll say it right on here. But
So you have a hearing before
We have a hearing, yeah, but I don't want to speak too much on, you know, I mean, it's a legal situation. I don't want to elaborate too much because I don't want to, you know, jeopardize my situation much by speaking on it. I already spoke, you know, what our situation and stance is. I don't know what the, you know, outcome it should be. I know what it should be and what's supposed to happen, but, you know, I'll deal with that when the time comes.
What do you hope will come out of the ANC meeting that's I'm assuming still going on in Georgetown in reference to your shop. What do you hope to hear from your business partner?
I hope that we can communicate and you know, talk about these things. Like this would have happened from the beginning. These people are, that's what really bothers me is like, you know, these people are leaders. You know, we're not in Mississippi. We're in Georgetown. We're in D.C. These people are powerful people and they're supposed to be our community's leaders. Like, you know, don't go complain to my landlord. Come talk to me like a human being. I'm not a bad person. I'm going to tell, you know, we can talk and figure this out like business people and see what the problems are. We don't have to, you know, if you want to come do a search warrant, police, come knock on our door. You don't need to come with AR-15s. You know, there's no guns in here. We ain't hurt nobody. Like, it's ridiculous. And y'all look ridiculous. And the whole news and everyone, that's why, like, we got to want, you know, speed dial. So if this happens again, you know, to show what's going on, you know, because it is ridiculous. You know what I mean? And like, it might mean we're a target or this and that. Like, I don't, you know, I'm trying to, for other people, because there's people, it's not just us. You know, there's people in New York. There's some guy that got caught, you know, 100 pounds of CBD. He got charged by the police. It's happening all across America. And then there's another situation with, there's hot CBD. And they don't even know how to deal with it. It's called
hot CBD.
It's called
what
hot CBD. It's so,
there's a lot of farm. When they legalized in 2018, they passed a farm bill. And so when that happened, a lot of people got their license to grow CBD. And it's still it's a new thing. So the regulation of it is, you know, there's Delta 9s, there's all these different chemicals, and we have lab results for all of our, you know, stuff. And, you know, some of it, like when people, you're ordering from these farms, they like, it happened to a buddy of mine. He had a farm in Nevada, and they do a test. They take 10 feet of rope. I mean, you have 80,000 plants. It's acres. You know, they can't just test every single plant. It's impossible. So they take 10 feet of rope, and they start at one section and do this section. They do a testing in the beginning stages of the plant's, you know, life. And then towards the end, when they're fully, you know, fully grown, mature, they do a test then too as well. And sometimes they'll pass the test early on, and then sometimes it'll hit for 10%.
What are they testing for?
The THC levels.
Ah, okay.
So that's what I was trying to explain on. So when it comes to that variable and the variable of the CBD and having trace of THC, you know, what on a legal standpoint, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's we don't have a lab, you know what I'm saying? The liability is not on us.
So you're suggesting that, you know, the difficulty for you is when you get the product, you don't know whether or not the THC level is detectable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You don't know the levels of it, because there's certain CBD stuff where people order it legally and they get it and they'll have 10% THC level. So that even if they do this testing stuff and all that, it really doesn't mean anything, because like, you know what I mean? We're not going to test it. Like if you got a beer store, you know, they don't test their Bud Lights for this 6% alcohol or this beer over here with 8% alcohol. They're not going to open up their beers and test it for the alcohol levels. It's the same thing. Like, you know, there's no way to monitor and regulate it, and they're just wasting their time and energy on these situations where it could be used to actually catch murderers, rapists, pedophiles, the real criminals of this world.
Ms. Alexander, I have about 2 minutes. I'll let you have the last word on this issue.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't think it's right to continuously harass, you know, these business owners when they're doing something that the government said, okay, you can do this here. You're allowed to open this store. You're allowed to sell these products. Oh, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to sell these products. But under what regulations? If we're going to have these issues, there need to be lines in place to where there is a clear definition of what is legal and what is not. If you make everything legal and then try to nitpick on each item and say, oh, this is legal, this is not, without any regulation or any way for us to defend ourselves even, then this is going to be a messy situation. And I really think that this area, specifically D.C., we need to, like I said earlier, understand and make it clear what message we're trying to send. If we want to use this product and allow it to help us as much as it already is, and as much as it already has around the world for centuries, then we need to work together, work closer together to build a community around this, because if not, it's just going to be messy. And this product is too good. It's natural. It's an amazing product. We need to allow it to live and grow the way that it should.
I think that's a good place to stop here. I appreciate both of you for coming in, Greg Wimsatt and Bianca Alexander. Thank you so much for talking to us. You know, Mr. Wimsatt, we certainly will be keeping our ear to the ground to find out what the disposition is, you know, for you in the legal case. But I appreciate you coming in and sharing with us. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, February 3rd. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.